Welcome to Journey Payroll and HR's podcast. We're here humanizing the workplace for entrepreneurs and leaders looking to learn about real-life ways to improve your work happiness and culture, learn payroll and HR laws, and hear successful entrepreneur stories with special guests to ensure you have something to take away every episode.
Thank you for listening in. My name is Kevin Welch, CEO and founder of Journey Payroll and HR. I am lucky enough to be here with one of my sidekicks, Ashley. Ashley is an owner at Journey, and she works every day with our clients as Director of Client Success. We are excited to also have Chris Cooley with us. Chris is our leader at Journey's HR Now offering, which is unlimited HR services for all of our clients. Chris is also co-founder of My HR Concierge. Today, we are talking about OSHA vaccine mandates. This is a mandate for all employers with more than 100 employees must require their employees to be vaccinated or test regularly for COVID. This is a hot topic with a lot of questions, political ties that we're staying away from because we're here just to provide information for businesses so they can make the best decisions for them and their team. I'm going to start this off with a high-level question for you, Chris. I have to imagine that there's a lot of questions coming at you with this new mandate.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been getting a ton of questions. And there's a lot of, a lot of these business owners are really struggling with this because if this is passed and it goes through, the economic effects of this to a lot of these businesses is going to be pretty traumatic. And so a lot of these guys are just trying to figure out, what do I do and how do I afford it? So it is, we get a lot of questions on it and really trying to understand what do these business owners need to do now just to get ready for it.
Yeah, with the topics in business, sometimes you could find politics involved, though for the most part, people stay away from it. And leaders avoid that on purpose. This is a situation that we're all in, and unfortunately a spotlight of politics is on it, but this is more important than ever is when the great leaders separate themselves and they adapt, adjust, and keep themselves out of that and make the best decisions for their business. This situation did get a lot more complicated with this mandate because now there's a penalty. So it's not just if an owner wants to avoid a mandate, not talk about a mandate. Now the question is this going to financially hurt the business? Because this just gets a lot more complicated when you throw in types of penalties that you could get. I'm going to have to ask Ashley, are you seeing businesses ask about this penalty more? Is this a little bit more in the forefront with this new law approaching?
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people are just kind of starting to hit the ground with this, as far as how will it affect them. And, one of the big questions definitely is, that penalty, which I've read is about 14,000, whether that's 14,000 or whether that changes, how does that get passed down to the business? Is that something that if they don't comply daily, if they don't comply monthly, I think a lot of people are just trying to wrap their heads around what is that penalty, how is that assessed? And I think that's kind of the biggest one. And, in comparison to ACA, when a lot of people said, well, if we don't comply, you get fined, per day or per month, or, a lot of people are starting to kind of ask that question too, is how is that assessed?
Yeah. And I think, right now this, this executive order is in the hands of OSHA. They're doing it through what's termed an ETS, and OSHA has to put that together. And we expect it, it could be weeks, it could be months when that comes out. And, it's always the devil's in the details. So we wait, and we'll know more when that comes out as far as how that's going to be, how that a penalty is going to be done to these employers. One thing too, though, is with this ETS, it's only been used about 9 times or 10 times actually in the history. And of those 10, 6 of them were challenged, and 5 of those challenges won. And so, it is still a lot of question on whether this is going to go through. I know there's about 24 states that are ready to jump on a suit whenever this does come out. Yep. I know Arizona's actually already suing. So it's really interesting on how this ends up. But yes, we're waiting for those details from OSHA. And once we get that, we'll have a little better idea on, you know, the penalties and how those will work.
Wow. That's staggering numbers. I've never heard of that. So that's great information there, Chris. Now, with Arizona and other states starting a legal battle, is there a chance this is going to pass, but it'll be pushed off 9 months, 12 months, or even more just because of the legal battles?
It could be. And I don't know how that's going to end up, but I think you've got a couple scenarios. There's going to be lawsuits, right? Definitely. Mm-hmm. And so the question is going to be is if when they go to those lawsuits, if those judges are going to rule and essentially rule, keep the ETS in place until a final decision is made, or will they rule and have an injunction that stops the ETS? If you'll remember, I guess it was last year or the year before, they did that with the ACA. A judge in Texas, they ruled against the ACA, but said, I'm not going to change anything until this gets finally addressed, essentially by the Supreme Court. And then it went through the channels and ended up in the Supreme Court. So we don't really know how that's going to work, whether it'll stop it, get an injunction, or if it'll just continue until, to your point, until the court cases are settled.
No. So another interesting question that's kind of come up a little bit in just some initial talks that we've had, you know, with some clients recently, you know, obviously, and again, I don't know if everything is in stone yet, but you know, people don't want to get vaccinated. They choose not to, they choose to take the route of getting tested. You know, another question that's come up a lot too is, well, what if I can't find a testing center? What if they don't have enough tests? What if I can't get to a place, you know, and I think that one of the questions too is, well, what happens if we run out of tests? What happens if I can't get to a testing center? How does that affect the business and the employee, you know, on kind of both their levels individually?
No, and that's a great question. I know I was talking to a friend of mine that works with, he works with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I saw him the other day and we were talking about this. And I asked him, I said, how in the world are we going to test all these employees? And he said, you can. He said, in his opinion, there just aren't enough tests to do this and to test that many workers and to test them weekly. Sure. So theoretically, based upon the executive order, it's pretty cut and dry. If they don't get tested, then they can't work. They have to be tested weekly. Now, will the ETS have something that kind of addresses that, that spells that out a little differently? Maybe so. But as of what we know right now, they have to be tested every week. And so, you know, I think a couple things these businesses can do there. One, as far as the vaccine goes, you know, there are people that are just not going to take it, period. It's much more than it's a political issue. It's whatever that may be.
Sure.
You have some, though, that just aren't educated. They aren't really educated enough to make that decision. And so they kind of haven't made a decision, if that makes sense. And so what we suggest is for these business owners to really start educating the employees on the vaccine, giving them facts, those kind of things, and then let them make that decision. Because obviously, and again, not a political statement, but from a business perspective, employers would love to have 100% vaccination if this goes through, because it eliminates all of this, right? It eliminates finding tests. It eliminates managing that. And it eliminates that risk of employees just leaving you and going to work somewhere else, because maybe they're going to work at a company that has less than 100 employees. So I think that education, if they can do that, would be a big step as well.
Yeah. And that's smart. So one piggyback question on that, because I know it's something that comes up on our side too, is whose responsibility is it to find that testing site then? Does that, and maybe we don't know yet, but is that going to fall on the employer to find testing for their employees, or does that fall on the unvaccinated employee to have to go find those tests?
I think from a regulatory perspective, I don't know that it really addresses that. From a practical perspective, it's going to be the employer. right? Because the employer needs those employees. And that's another thing that we suggest that these employers go ahead and start doing is to start figuring out, where can I send these employees? Who is going to have these tests? And to start talking to local clinics or whoever that may be. You know, they do have at-home tests that you can take now. Whether that would work, I don't know. My guess would be not, only because, one, I don't know that you can get those. And two, it's kind of like doing an at-home drug test. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yep.
So, accuracy on that whole.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. Now, I had a great conversation with a client a couple of weeks ago, which was interesting. He is around 90 employees. He's about to hire a couple more. So he's going to get to 92 here. He's growing. He's trying to hire like crazy. But he doesn't know if he wants to grow above 100 anymore. He's not against the vaccine. He's actually, he's vaccinated himself. His family's vaccinated. He's personally for it, but he's just worried about the headaches. He just wants to grow his business. Though he is now wondering what to do, how's this going to affect him? He doesn't want to deal with this red tape. So here's a question though. He asked, he's when he gets to 100 employees, is this when the new role kicks in, or is it 100 full-time employees? Because not everybody on his staff, I think it was about 20% or so, 20-25% was part-time. So do we know if the role affects only full-time, or are we going to see some type of, it has to be above 30 hours a week or 25 hours a week, or do we know what the role's there yet? Or is this one of those things that we just don't know yet?
We don't know yet. I don't know if that's full-time equivalent, if that's full-time paid. I have not seen a definition of that yet. And how that, so I'm not sure how that's going to eventually come out.
Which is so hard. I think that's got to be, probably to Kevin's point, talking to that client, that's got to be one of the trickier parts right now of, growing your business, right? We just came out of COVID where, so many businesses were kind of in that, are we going to grow? Are we able to grow? Do we even have the capacity to grow? And now we're talking about, okay, we're ramping up, we're getting things going. And now this too, that's got to be, that's just a hard thing for employers to have to be kind of in limbo with right now.
Yeah. Cause if you look at, from an employee perspective, these guys are over 100 and you have an employee that's just not going to get tested. They're just not going to do it. So you're going to have a percentage, whatever that is, 10% or 15%. They're just going to go start working for companies less than 100 employees.
Mm-hmm. That's looking interesting, Chris, because.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say interesting because I read a stat that 28% of employed Americans say they won't get the vaccine, even if it costs them their job. And to me, that's incredible. If they're willing to, hey, I know I'm going to lose my job because of this, but I'm not going to get the vaccine. I'll go work for, to your point, a company that's less than, that doesn't have to comply with this. So that begs the question, does this mean, this is a good time for people, employers, to start looking for people? I mean, how do you know what that, that seems like a pretty big percentage to me. If we're talking about, companies of 100 or more employees, if you're going to lose staff because of this, what, should they start looking?
I would definitely start building that pool. I would definitely. And the problem is that most of them are already short staffed, right? We were talking to one of our clients. It's a grocery store chain. They've got 12 or 13 grocery stores. And, he made the statement that he could go out and hire 100 people today if he could find them. And then on top of that, he says, with this mandate, one, it's paying for the testing, which is a huge economic, thing for them. But then two, he's going to have another, whatever that is, 10 to 15% that probably just fall out. So he's already 100 employees short because he can't find anybody. Now he may lose another 100 employees because they don't want to get vaccinated. And they don't want to test. They don't want to go through the hassle. So it's going to be a huge issue for a lot of these businesses.
So I have a real example. I recently saw on social media where a construction company posted an advertisement that they'll never force any of their employees to be vaccinated. Kind of crazy, very aggressive. It was the day after this came out. So they were quick. I can't remember if it was on Facebook or LinkedIn, but you could tell they were under 100 employees. So they're clearly seeing this as a big opportunity to recruit. And it shows that this plays to an advantage to a company that is under 100 employees, and they don't really care or want to talk about the vaccine. They say, hey, do what you want to do. So it makes recruiting unfair. So right or wrong, beliefs aside, this is the stuff you're going to see more and more of, though.
Yeah. And on both sides, Kev, isn't that crazy to think that, you know, there's somebody saying, hey, we don't require it. And as an, you know, as an employee, right, depending on what your belief is on the vaccine or wherever you stand, I mean, that's pretty, like you said, that's pretty bold. That's a pretty bold statement to put out there. But, you know, for somebody that's very bold, on the other side of it, yeah, you don't, you know, I'm not going to go work for a company like that. You know, that's where you're going to get a lot of both sides. You know, I wouldn't go work for a company like that. Or, hey, you know, great, I have a job. I can walk in and get a job tomorrow and not have to worry about being vaccinated.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing too.
It's different thoughts, and that politics gets thrown in the mix, and there's hardly any way to avoid it. And that's the tough part. That's, I think every business owner doesn't want to be a part of this in any situation. And that's, that's why we have people like Chris on our team with HR now to answer these questions for
them. Yeah.
Because it's tricky.
You know, one thing too is how do you enforce it? And so I read something the other day where, and these may not be exactly right, but it's pretty close, that this is going to affect a little over 100,000 companies. And they've got, and OSHA has 8,000 people to enforce this. And so the question is, how are they going to enforce it? How are they going to come around to everybody and make sure that they are, you know, are getting the vaccination, are getting the test, those kind of things. And so one thing they said was, OSHA put out, there was something that was going on, and they put out a tweet. They put it all out on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And they had more results from that social media interaction than they would have. And it was about 250 audits.
Wow.
And so I think what you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing OSHA, if this does occur and becomes effective, you're going to see OSHA hitting social media basically for whistleblowers a good bit.
Interesting.
So I think it's kind of perverse, right? So essentially you've got the employer going out having to enforce all of this. And then on the flip side, you've got, you're almost emboldening the employee to be the one that rats out the employer if they don't.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. This is going to get messy.
Buckle
somebody's
up.
Going to find out who it was. Somebody's going to get let go. There's going to be a lawsuit. I could see this unraveling in many different ways.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys have any more points to touch on this, but the biggest takeaway I think that any listeners could walk away from is recruit. And really whatever angle you want to go about it is you got to get that pull going. All right. And you have to build up. And I know that's already a struggle right now for businesses in this pandemic that we're in and with everything that every business is going through, but we have to be really creative on how we recruit and keep building that pull. I don't know if you guys would add anything else to that.
The only thing I would add is also if this does come to fruition, go ahead now and start figuring out how you're going to do your testing. Find those places and then also start the education process on the vaccination with your employees. Because the more, again, not political, but just from this, speaking specifically for this ETS, the more employees you have that are vaccinated, the better.
Well, I have to say a big thank you to Ash and Chris for joining me today. We know this is a hot topic. It is not cut and dry. We will be regularly updating our clients when new rules come out, new definitions through email, blogs, and I definitely see us doing another podcast when the details are out soon. So thank you so much for listening. Appreciate you.